إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'izni Allah ta'ala, we would like to continue in the brief explanation or the sharh of the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah from the introduction of Al-Imam Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Abi Zayd Al-Qayrawani, in which he has explained in brief some of the, or most of the important points of the Islamic creed or the Aqeedah of the people of Sunnah. Al-Imam ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah began this essay by mentioning those things which are obligatory to be pronounced on the tongue and to be held as a firm conviction in the heart. And he mentioned a number of things. From amongst those things, the most important of them is that which he began with, and that is a tawheed. In this section, the eighth paragraph, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah talks about the sending or the missioning of the prophets and messengers and their purpose or objective for being sent, and what was the role and the primary characteristics or qualities of the messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, from amongst those things that it is required to believe in concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is the one who missions or sends forth the messengers. الْبَاعِثُ الرُّسُلَ إِلَيْهِمْ لِإِقَامَةِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ خَتَمَ الرِّسَالَ وَالنِّذَارَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ بِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيِّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-ba'ithu, the one who sends forth or missions الرُّسُل, the messengers, sending them forth to the people, to various nations, for the purpose of establishing the proof against them, establishing the proof, yani confirming that the message has been delivered and the people have been informed of what is their responsibility in this world. لِإِقَامَةِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَيْهِمْ. The purpose, the primary purpose of the sending of the prophets and messengers, it is to inform the people of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them for. What is their purpose in this world? That it is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the sending of the messengers and the delivering of their message to the people, it is a hujjah or a proof against the nations of the earth. Every nation in the earth having had messengers or prophets sent to them. So this is the primary purpose, to establish the proof, to confirm the fact that the message has been delivered and the people have been enjoined or encouraged to worship Allah, to obey Him, so that they might enter the paradise, and they have been warned against disobedience to Allah, which would result in their punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who sent or missioned the messengers for the establishment of the proof against them. ثُمَّ خَتَمَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَالنِّذَارَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ بِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then He sealed the risala, yani the sending of messengers, and an-nidara, the sending of warners, and an-nubuwa, prophethood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed these missions. Yani there's no more sending of messengers or warners or prophets after the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this was sealed, it was closed by the missioning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah. فجعله آخر المرسلين بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وصراجا منيرا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him, that is his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last of the messengers, the final messenger, after whom no other messenger would come. He is the seal of the messengers, the last of them, the final one. And he has missioned him, bashiran, as one who gives good news or the glad tidings, one who gives the people the bushra, the good news, for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would earn his reward, al-jannah. وَنَذِيرًا, as a warner, warning the people that those who disobey Allah, that those who disbelieve in Allah, and those who fall into shirk, that they would be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hellfire. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ, and he is a caller to Allah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the worship of Allah, to the deen of Allah, by the permission of Allah. وَصِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا, and he is a lighted lamp, a lamp that lights the way, that clears the way, that makes the road clear and easy to follow. بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا, the one who calls the people or announces the good news or the glad tidings, and the one who warns against disobedience to Allah and calls to Allah, and he is the light that lights the way so that the people may follow the correct way. وَأَنْزَلَ عَلَيْهِ كِتَابَهُ الْحَكِيمِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him his book, his wise book, الْكِتَابَهُ الْحَكِيمِ, the book containing the wisdom, the divine wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which puts everything in perspective, puts everything in its place. It calls to every good and warns against every evil so that the people will know where they should put their actions and how to worship Allah and how to live in this world. وَشَرَعَ بِدِينِهِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, or as it is found, the wording in another copy of this book, which appears to be closer to the correct wording, وَشَرَعَ بِهِ دِينَهُ الْقَوِيمِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated by the Prophet, or through the Prophet, by the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has legislated his deen, yani he has given the sharia of his deen, al-mustaqim, his straight deen, he has legislated it through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by sending him, by missioning him. وَهَدَى بِهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and he has guided, that is the people, by him, through the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the straight path. In this paragraph, or in this section, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah is confirming the objective or the main purpose of the sending of the Prophets and Messengers, and the role of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the seal of the Prophet, that there is no Prophet to come after him. He says, Al-Ba'ithu ar-Rusula ilayhim li-iqamati al-Hujjah alayhim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who commissions or sends forth the messengers to the various nations, to the people, to establish the hujjah or the proof against them, the proof that the message has been delivered, and therefore everyone is responsible for their action. And this is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 165, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُولِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. That they are sent as messengers, مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ, giving the good news or the glad tidings to the people, the glad tidings of the reward of Allah, of the paradise for those who obey Him. وَمُنذِرِينَ, and warning those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of His stern punishment. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بعد الرسول, so that there would not be any hujjah, any proof, any argument for the people against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would not have any argument against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawmul Qiyamah after the sending of the messengers. Whoever wants to plead innocent, they will not be able to plead innocent because the proof has been established. The prophets and messengers have been sent with this objective. Therefore, the messengers, they are the shuhada, they are the witnesses against their people that they have delivered to them, yani delivered to them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and established against them the proof, so that they would have no argument. Yani so that they would not remain after the sending of the messengers, they would not remain for the people any shubha, any doubt, or any argument to defend themselves with. But in fact, their actions are only the result of their stubbornness and pride. Their stubbornness to obey the prophets and messengers when they call them to the right way. And their pride which prevented them from submitting to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent for their guidance. ثم ختم الرسالة والنذارة والنبوة بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعله آخر المرسلين. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed the sending of messengers, yani the risala, and also the sending of warners and prophethood with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and made him the last of the messengers, the final messenger, as one who is giving the good news and warning against evil and calling to the way of Allah by his permission and a lighted lamp. And this is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab chapter 33 verse 45 and 46. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, يا أيها النبي, O Prophet, verily we have sent you شاهدا, as a witness against the people to whom you have been sent, yani to all of humanity, because the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his missioning, it is to the whole of humanity, to jinn and to men. He said, indeed we have sent you as a shahid, a witness against the people. Wa mubashir, mubashir, one who is calling the people or announcing to them to the good news of the reward of Allah for those who obey him. Wa nadhiran, and a warner against disobedience to Allah, and a caller to the way of Allah by his permission, and a lighted lamp, yani showing the way of Allah clearly so that the people may easily follow it. So the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the last of the messengers, he is the final messenger. And this is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab chapter 33 verse 40, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not the father of any of your men. He was not the father of any of your men. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. But in fact what he is the messenger of Allah, the one sent by Allah. وَخَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, and the seal of the Prophet. Yani the seal of the Prophet, meaning that prophethood is closed with him. It's closed, not to be opened after him. Therefore no prophet or messenger can come after him. Not like some of those who deviated from the correct Islamic creed concerning the finality of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that Khatam al-Nabiyyin, it means that he is the seal of approval. That if any prophet came after him, they have to compare him to the prophethood of Muhammad to see if he is approved. In fact, the meaning of it, as all of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, and as is clear from the verse itself, it is that he is the final prophet, that prophethood has been closed with him, and there cannot be any prophet after him. Therefore, whoever claims prophethood for himself or for other than himself, whoever claims prophethood, that he is a prophet, or claims that someone else is a prophet, then such a one, yani after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever claims it, then such a one has disbelieved and has gone out of Islam. And whoever claims prophethood after the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever claims it for himself or attributes it to attribute it to other than himself, then that person has disbelieved, he has denied and rejected the clear statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the preceding verse that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah and the seal of the Prophet. Such a person has disbelieved, he has gone out of Islam. And likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only is he the seal of the Prophet, but he is a shahid, a witness against the people that he has, that the message has been delivered. He is a witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the Prophet forward on Yawm al-Qiyamah as a witness against every nation that the message has been delivered to them. And he is one who announces the good news to whoever obeys him. He announces the good news of al-Jannah. And he is a warner to whoever disobeys him with the warning of the hellfire. That the one who obeys him, he is announcing or giving them the good news of paradise. Because it is through obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that one earns the pleasure of Allah. Because obedience to the Prophet is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is similar to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the authentic hadith recorded by Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and which he said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. That all of my ummah will enter the paradise. All of my ummah, every follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will enter the paradise, even if they have sinned, even if they have committed major sins, even if they have not repented from their sins, other than shirk. Then even if they are punished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he decides by his will to punish them, then they will come out of the fire and into the paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. All of my ummah will enter the paradise, إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى, except the one who refuses. And they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى. Yani, will somebody refuse to enter the paradise? Is there anyone who will refuse to enter the paradise? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَطَعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَطَعَنِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. That whoever obeys me, then he has entered the paradise. And whoever disobeys me, then he has refused. Yani, the one who disobeys the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact he has disobeyed Allah, and that one has refused for himself the reward of Allah, his paradise. And he is the lighted lamp and the guide to the straight path. And here he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur chapter 24 verse 54, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. That if you obey him, then you will be guided. And it is through obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person is guided. And then he mentions the saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah, and he has revealed to him his wise book, the book of wisdom, that is Al-Qur'an, Al-Hakim, Al-Kareem, the noble Qur'an that contains in it the guidance for every good in the deen as well as in the dunya. The Qur'an contains the guidance to every good, not only in the religious affairs, but also in the worldly affairs. The Qur'an contains the call and the guidance to every good, and the warning from every evil in the deen and in the dunya, in the religious affairs as well as in the worldly affairs. وَشَرَعَ بِدِينِهِ أَوْ شَرَعَ بِهِ دِينَهُ الْقَوِيمُ وَالْمُسْتَقِيمُ, according to the various wordings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated through him his straight religion, his upright or true religion. وَهَدَى بِهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, and he has guided through him the people, he has guided the people through him to the straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for his messenger the most perfect of legislations, the most perfect sharia, and the best of that which has been legislated, yani that which has been legislated to the previous prophets. The best of that which has been legislated is that which is legislated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe that there is only one deen. Not as some people might understand, according to the expression that is used by many of the scholars, Al-Adiyan Al-Samawiyyah, the heavenly religions or heavenly deen. But we believe that there is only one deen. There is no Christianity and Judaism and Islam, there are various true deens. There's only one deen, but every prophet was sent with a sharia, or every messenger was sent with a sharia. Sometimes that sharia was different from one nation to another, or one time to another time, yani in accordance with what was suitable for that people. The best of what has been legislated is that, and the most perfect of it is that which has been legislated through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has guided him, that is, he has guided the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the most straight and the best of ways, and the most just or moderate of ways in the affairs of the deen and in the affairs of the dunya. Here, Sheikh Muhammad al-Khumayyis, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, summarized the points of this section, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent messengers as bringers of good news and warners to establish the proof against the people, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the last of the messengers, and that he is a bashir, yani the one who gives the good news, and nadir, the one who warns, and as-siraj al-muniyah, the lighted lamp, as well he is as-shahid, the witness against the people, and the da'i that calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has revealed to him the Qur'an and legislated for him the best of that which has been given as deen, and the most straight and perfect of that which has been legislated as a law for any people. In the next paragraph, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd talks about the hour of judgment, the fact of the coming of the hour of judgment, and that the people will be resurrected to life again as they were brought to life the first time. And he said briefly here concerning this point, what of those things that we are required to have faith in, to believe firmly and to have a firm conviction in our hearts, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا, that the hour, meaning the hour of judgment, the day of judgment, it is coming, there is no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبَعَثُ مَنْ يَمُوتِ كَمَا بَدَعَهُمْ يَعُودُونَ, and that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect whoever has died. Every human being that has come into this world and died, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them back to life. He will raise them back to life. And it is just as He has brought them into being, into existence, just as He has given them life the first time in the beginning, He will also bring them into being, or bring them back to life on the judgment day. Just as Allah has done it the first time, He will also do it again for the resurrection and the accounting and the rewarding of the people, those who have done good with good and those who have done evil with evil. The Shaykh says concerning this statement that the hour is coming and there is no doubt about it, he said, As-sa'a, it is al-qiyama. As-sa'a, it is al-qiyama. It is the resurrection. Wahiya al-yawm al-akhir. It is the last day. As-sa'a, it means the time of resurrection when the people will be resurrected from the dead. It means the last day of this world, on which the people will be judged and they will be rewarded according to their deeds in this life, as Allah wills. And no one knows what is the time or this hour. No one has this knowledge except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not prophets or angels or anyone who claims to know. No one knows. This is of the matters of the unseen. The time of the judgment, when it will be, is only known to Allah. As for the signs of the judgment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned many of the signs of when would be, yani the nearness of the time of judgment, major as well as minor signs. And this is, yani the fact that no one knows this is what has been mentioned, no one knows except Allah, is what has been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Luqman chapter 31 verse 34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمَ السَّاعَ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمَ السَّاعَ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of the hour is with Him alone, it is with Allah. Nobody knows, nobody has this knowledge of the sa'a, of the hour of judgment, except Allah. And likewise the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7 verse 187, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ, that they ask you, they ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the sa'a, about the hour of judgment, أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا, when will be its time, when is its appointed time, When will it be? Yani, since you are the Prophet of Allah and the Messenger, then when is the hour of judgment? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Say that verily, it's the knowledge of it. It is only with my Lord. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows it. So that the faith for having iman in the last day, it is a pillar of the pillars, of the six pillars of iman. It is one of the arkan al-iman al-sitta. It is one of the pillars of faith in Islam. Whoever rejects any one of them, then that person has rejected Islam and is a kafir. Whoever denies it, yani this pillar of the six pillars of iman, the belief in the last day, the day of judgment and resurrection, then he is a disbeliever in Allah the Supreme. And this is like the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 136. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. That whoever denies or disbelieves, whoever disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels and his books and his messengers, and the last day, then that person has indeed gone far astray. Whoever disbelieves in al-yawm al-akhir, in the last day, then that person has indeed gone far astray. It is the last day. There is no doubt about its coming. And this is as in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 7. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. That indeed the hour of judgment is coming. There is no doubt about it. And then the saying of Ibn Abi Zayd, rahimahullah, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ. That indeed, verily, Allah will resurrect whoever dies. It is as the saying of Allah in the continuation of the previous ayat in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 7, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. يعني وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. That verily, the hour is coming. There is no doubt about it. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And there is no doubt about the fact that Allah will resurrect all of those who are in the grave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 38, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَا يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ. That they swear, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ, they swear by Allah, جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ, their strongest oath, لَا يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ, that Allah will not resurrect those who die. Those are the kuffar who disbelieve in the resurrection and the judgment and the accounting and the reward in the next life. بَلَى وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Nay, indeed, it is a promise. وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا. It is a promise that is binding on Allah to bring it about. He has promised it and it is binding on him to establish it. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. However, most of the people do not know. Most of the people do not believe in the hour of judgment or the accounting. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect the people after their death, their soul as well as their physical bodies. This is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect the souls of the human beings as well as their physical bodies, just as he has brought them into this world the first time, physically and spiritually. Likewise, he will resurrect them physically and spiritually, and he will call them to account according to their actions, their deeds, and he will reward them or recompense them according to their actions. So Allah will reward the muhsin, the one who does good, and he will punish the musi, the one who does evil. And everyone will be recompensed according to his deeds. So whoever denies al-ba'ath, the resurrection, the bringing to life after death, that person has fallen into kufr. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 64, verse 7, التغابن زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا. That those who disbelieve claim that they will never be resurrected, that they will never be brought back to life and called to account and punished for their deeds. قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم وذلك على الله يسير. Indeed, by my Lord, you will definitely be resurrected, and then you will definitely be informed of your actions, and you will be informed about what you have done, and that informing it means that you will be called to account for it, that you will be called to account, that you will be recompensed for your actions. And indeed, this is easy for Allah. And this leads to يعني the saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd concerning the resurrection, كَمَا بَدَأَهُمْ يَعُودُونَ, just as Allah brought them into being the first time in the beginning, as Allah brought the human beings to life physically and spiritually, then they will return the same way. They will be brought back again physically and spiritually. And this is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7 verse 29, كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ, just as you have been brought into being, brought into this life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be brought back to life again. So that the people will be resurrected as they were created the first time, as Allah created the first time, they will be resurrected, they will be brought back to life again. And Allah will come to them and He will call them to account, all of them, all of the people will be called to account for their deeds. And this is not something that will render Allah incapable. Yani this is not something that is difficult for Allah. Allah is indeed capable and able to do so. Indeed, the resurrection, bringing back to life again after death, it is easier for Allah to bring the human beings back to life than it is to bring them to life the first time. It is easier. And this is understood from the saying of Allah in Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verse 82, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That indeed, His command, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا, when Allah wills or intends something, it is only that He says to it, be, and then it is, and it comes into being. Here Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, the statement in this paragraph, what he has discussed, it is summarized by the Shaykh by saying that verily the hour is coming, it is a reality, there is no doubt about it, and that the dead will be resurrected by Allah after their death, just as He brought them into existence the first time. And finally, the last paragraph that we want to discuss from the essay this evening, it is the saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah concerning the reward of the human beings being multiplied and the forgiveness of Allah of the sins of His servants, and what would be the state of those who repent to Allah after sinning, and what would be the condition of those who don't repent. He said, also of those things that we are required to hold a firm conviction in, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ ضَاعَفَ لِعِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْحَسَنَاتِ, that indeed Allah subhanahu, He has multiplied, He increases for His believing servants al-hasanat, the good, the reward for their good deeds. وَصَفَحَ لَهُمْ بِالتَّوْبَةِ عَنْ كَبَائِرِ السَّيِّئَاتِ, and He pardons and overlooks, passes over their major sins due to their tawbah, their repentance. Yani the major sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He overlooks them and He pardons and forgives them for those who perform a tawbah, who repent to Him, yani who stop what they're doing when they realize that it is wrong and feel remorse for what they have done and make a firm resolution not to return to it, seeking Allah's forgiveness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pardons and He overlooks those major sins. وَغَفَرَ لَهُمْ الصَّغَائِرِ بِإِجْتِنَابِ الْكَبَائِرِ, and He covers up and He also pardons their minor sins, الصغائر, He pardons them by their avoiding the major sins. By simply avoiding the major sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away the minor sins for the one who strives to avoid the major sins. وَجَعَلَ مَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ طَائِرًا إِلَى مَشِيئَتِهِ, and He has made the one who does not repent from the major sins, He has made that one subject to His mashia, to His will. Yani He means here that which the scholars of Ahl Sunnah have stated in their books of Aqeedah, that the one who commits a major sin, if he sincerely repents, so Allah forgives him. And if he doesn't repent before his death, other than shirk, then he will be subjected to the will of Allah, to the Mashiach of Allah, meaning that Allah will do with him as he wills. If he wills, he will punish him justly, and if he wills, he will forgive him out of his mercy. Allah will do with him as he wills. And this is, and then he closes with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That verily Allah does not forgive that anyone should be associated with him, that anyone should make shirk with him, whether in ibadah or in other of those things that are the rights of Allah alone. Allah doesn't forgive shirk, but he forgives whatever is less than that. And every sin is less than shirk. Allah forgives whatever is less than that to whomever he wills. If anybody commits a major sin, of the worst of sins other than shirk, then Allah doesn't forgive shirk. But everything less than that, Allah forgives to whomever he wills. Therefore, whoever does not repent from the major sins, then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will do with him as he wills. He will forgive whomever he wills, and he will punish justly whoever he wills. The saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd that Allah multiplies the reward of his believing slaves, yani their hasanat, their good deeds, and this is as in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 160, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. That whoever comes with one hasana, one good deed, then he will have the reward of 10, the like of it. He will have the reward of the likeness of 10 good deeds like the one that he has done. And this is also understood from the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 261, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That the likeness or the example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبَعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. That it is the likeness of a grain of corn, and it grows from one grain 7 ears of corn, and in every ear 100 grains. Yani 700 times multiplied from one good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give 10 rewards, as in the previous ayat, or up to 700 rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the rewards of his servants to whomever he wills. And Allah is wasi'un alim, he is sufficient, yani in fulfilling the needs of his creatures and all knowing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rewards the one who does good because of his ihsan, because of his goodness. He rewards him for his goodness. He rewards him by multiplying his good deeds in multiplied so many times over. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 245, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِدُ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِدُ اللَّهَ قَرَضًا حَسَنًا. Who is it that will lend to Allah a goodly loan, قَرَضًا حَسَنًا, yani do a good deed for the sake of Allah. فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it many times over. And this is the fadl of Allah. It is Allah's favor, His bounty. He multiplies the good deeds of His servants in multiples as much as He wills. And then He said concerning their sins, وَصَفَحَ لَهُمْ بِالتَّوْبَةِ عَنْ كَبَارِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons and overlooks for them their major sins by tawbah, by their repentance. And that is that the believer, if he commits a sin and then he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance and he turns back to Allah by doing good deeds, at-tawbah wal-inaba, turning to Allah with good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away or expiates or removes his evil deeds. And this is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Tahrim, chapter 66, verse 8, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. All you who believe, repent, turn back to Allah with sincere repentance. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Perhaps it is expected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate from you your sins. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 68 through 70, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. But whoever does these sins that are mentioned before this, then they will meet or they will receive a punishment for their sins. يُضَعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah will multiply their reward for on the day of resurrection. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And they will remain in it in disgrace. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except, yani whoever has done the evil deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them. And He will put them in a condition of disgrace and humiliation. Except the one who repents and who believes and who does good deeds. Yani who repents and who believes and who follows that repentance with good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. Then these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will exchange their evil deeds for good deeds. Allah will exchange the evil deeds of those who have repented and believed and followed with good deeds. He will exchange their evil deeds and replace them, not only remove them and forgive them, but He will replace them, the evil deeds, as good deeds. And indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful. So the tawbah, it removes whatever was before it. It erases and it expiates for whatever has been before it. And then the saying of Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the faghair, the major sins, by merely avoiding al-kabair, by avoiding falling into, He will forgive the minor sins by avoiding falling into the major sins. And this is understood from the saying of Allah in chapter 53, Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53, verse 32, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ. That those who avoid, who stay far away from the major sins, وَالْفَوَاحِشَ and indecencies, إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ, except some small sins, except small faults that no human being can be free from. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Then indeed your Lord is wise or vast in His forgiveness. Yani Allah is very forgiving. And this is also what is mentioned in the authentic hadith reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, As-salawat al-khams wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ati wa ramadhan ila ramadhan kaffaratun lima baynuhuma idha ijtunibat al-kabair. That the five prayers, if they are performed in a day, and one Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah, the performance of Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah, and Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan to the next Ramadan, that all of these are kafara. These are means of expiation of one's sins. The five prayers of the day are expiation for the sins performed between them. As the Prophet ﷺ gave him the example of a man who goes through a stream in front of his house five times a day, would any dirt remain on him? Then likewise the five prayers of the day, and Jum'ah to Jum'ah, and Ramadan to Ramadan, it is a means of expiating whatever is between them. Either tunibat al-kabair, if the person avoids the major sins. Avoiding the major sins is in and of itself a means of expiation of minor sins. So the avoidance of the major sins in and of itself is one of the yani mukaffarat, it is one of the things that expiate for the minor sins. And this is from the fadl or the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this point, there's no time this evening, but yani it is worth noting that though this is the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and it is the opinion of the jumhur, of the majority of the scholars, that major sins would only be removed by tawbah, while minor sins might be removed by those things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned in this hadith and in other hadith. However, some of the scholars held the opinion that even major sins might be removed by some of these things that have been mentioned in the text, which suggest or indicate apparently that whoever does such and such a thing, all of their sins will be removed. And some of the scholars said that it also includes the major sins. And the argument for this is a little bit lengthy, and there's not time to refer to it now. But whoever wants to may look in the checking of the hadith of Targhib wa Tarhib, the checking by Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, and he has discussed this point in some detail and explained the position of those scholars who say that there are hadith which point to the fact that even major sins could be forgiven without tawbah, yani would be removed, and Allah knows best. Then he said that, yani Al-Imam ibn Abi Zayd says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the one who does not repent from the major sins, he would be subject to the Mashiach, to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this has been confirmed in the hadith of Al-Bukhari, من أصاب من ذلك شيئا, yani whoever has been afflicted by something of that, whoever has fallen into one of these sins, ثم سطره الله, then Allah covered him up, didn't let it become seen or known, فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, then he will be returning to Allah in that condition. Whoever has done what he has done and Allah has covered it, and he has not repented and he has not been punished for it, then he will return to Allah. إِن شَاءَ عَفَى عَنْهُ, if Allah wills, he will pardon him. وَإِن شَاءَ عَاقَبَهُ, and if Allah wills, he will punish him for that. And this is the saying of the people of truth and the saying of the Salaf, the early generations of the Muslims, from the Sahaba and those who followed in their way, that the one who commits a major sin without considering it as being lawful, whoever steals without considering stealing lawful, whoever drinks alcohol without considering it being lawful, then this is the saying concerning them, that even if it is a major sin, as long as they didn't consider what they are doing is lawful, but they admit that it is sinful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they have not been punished for it in this world and they have not repented from it, then Allah may forgive them even from the major sins if He wills, or He may punish them justly. Yani, as long as they don't consider it as lawful. If they repented from it, then Allah accepts their repentance. And if the punishment, the hudud, has been inflicted upon them in this world, then that will be an expiation for their sins. And if the hudud has not been performed on them and they died without making tawbah, then they will be tahta al-mashiyah. They will be subjected to the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will pardon them. And if He wills, He will punish them for their sins. However, we fear for them. And even though we know that Allah may pardon them, we fear for them. And we don't make a ruling or a judgment against them that they will be in the hellfire forever for committing major sins. As was major sins is slightly different in its expression. The ultimate end of its meaning is the same. The Khawarij said that whoever commits a major sin is a kafir who will be in hellfire forever, and the Mu'tazila said that whoever commits major sins are neither a believer nor a disbeliever. Bayna manzilatayn, they are between kufr and iman, but they also said, as the Khawarij said, that they will be in the hellfire forever. So in the end of it all, they're saying is the same. And this is not the opinion of the people of Sunnah. The opinion of the people of Sunnah is that the one who has committed a major sin, if they repented from it, Allah accepts their repentance, if it is sincere repentance. And if they didn't, and they have not been punished for it, then they will be under the will of Allah. Allah will punish them if He wills, or He may forgive them, yani out of His mercy. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 48, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ, that verily Allah forgives, or Allah does not forgive. Allah will not forgive that shirk, that anyone should be associated with Him. And He forgives whatever is less than that to whomever He wills. In this ayat, it is a clear text concerning this issue. Yani the issue of whether or not the people who died committing major sins and have not repented from them and have not been punished from them, that Allah may forgive them if He wills. This ayat is a clear text in this issue. And its meaning is that shirk will not be forgiven for the one who does it ever. And here also there is some difference of opinion amongst the scholars of Sunnah, that shirk akbar, major shirk, definitely would never be forgiven. As for minor shirk, some of the scholars said that Allah might forgive minor shirk, because there is a big difference between minor shirk and major shirk. However, some scholars said that it is better to leave it as shirk, in the absolute sense that Allah will not forgive shirk. Don't make a distinction between major and minor. And this is better in warning the people and frightening the people from falling into any type of shirk, whether it is major or minor. The meaning is that shirk will not be forgiven for the one who does it. As for whatever is besides that, of the major sins or the minor sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive them for whomever He wills. And the summary of this section is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the good deeds of the believers, and that avoiding the major sins, it is a means for the expiation of minor sins, and that the Muslim who dies without making tawbah, then he will be subjected to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of what we have time to cover. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if there are any questions or comments or any corrections from what has been said, perhaps we can take just a few moments and then look at the questions quickly. Right, then the first question that is mentioned, what is the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has missioned ar-rusul, the messengers? What is the purpose for which Allah has missioned the messengers? To establish the proof, the iqamat al-hujjah, to establish the proof against the people that the message has been delivered to them and they have been warned against evil and encouraged to do good. What is the hukm shar'i, or the legal ruling concerning one who claims an-nubuwa, prophethood, for himself or for someone else after the missioning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Naam, the person who claims prophethood for himself or for someone else, and that person has fallen into disbelief. This is kufr. Explain the basis of, or the reasoning behind this ruling. Yani why do we say it is kufr? Because the Quran says that there is no prophet, that prophethood is sealed, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is khatam al-nabiyyin, is the seal of the prophet. Therefore whoever claims other than that, he has disbelieved in the Quran. And whoever disbelieves in even one word of the Quran is a kafir. Mention some of the sifat or descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this section. Naam, he is a siraj al-munir, a lighted lamp that shows the way. Mubashiran, the one who gives the good news for those who obey Allah. And a warner, and a shahid, a witness against the people. Naam. Naam, he is also the best of creation, but he has not mentioned it here in this section. Naam. And a caller to Allah by his mission. To whom was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to announce the good news or give glad tidings? Yani the good news, it is for those who believe and who obey Allah. Yani they are the ones who have the good news, the bushra. There's no good news for the people who disbelieve and who disobey Allah. The good news are for those who obey Allah. Explain the importance of belief in the coming of the Sa'ah, the hour of judgment. Why is this belief in the coming of the Sa'ah? Why is it, how can we show that it is important? What is this important? That it is one of the six pillars of faith. It is one of the foundations of belief. And also it is one of the motivating factors for the true believer who believes that it is true, that it will really happen, for him to behave properly and to obey Allah and to avoid disobedience of Allah. What is the hukm shari concerning the one who disbelieves in the coming of the hour? And it is kufr, whoever disbelieves in the coming of the hour. Yani the coming of the hour is part of the belief in Yawm al-Akhir, the last day, that there is an hour of judgment where the people will be resurrected and their accounts will be given and they will be rewarded or punished according to their deeds. Mention some of the essential aspects of faith in Yawm al-Akhir, the last day. What are some of the essential aspects of the belief in the last day? That? Okay, only Allah knows the hour. Naam. What will happen on that day? What do we believe? That people will be resurrected physically as well as their soul. Naam. And also? Huh? Naam. And what else will happen? The record, the accounting of the good deeds and evil deeds, and the reward and the punishment. Naam. And there are so many other points of belief that have been dealt with in some of the other books. If you go back to Al-Aqidah Sahawiyah, Al-Umat Al-Aqidah by Imam Sahawi and Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, you'll find some of the details of the belief in the last day. What is the... how can one erase Al-Kabair, the major sins? How can we remove the Kabair? The Tawbah, according to the majority of the scholars of the Sunnah, that major sins can only be removed by Tawbah, while the other opinion is that there are some deeds which a person, if he does it, perhaps, or if she does it, even major sins will be removed and Allah knows best. Mention some of the means by which as-sagair, the minor sins, may be removed. Abstaining from the major sins, from the prayer to prayer, the five prayers of the day, from Jummah to Jummah, Ramadan to Ramadan, and so many other things that the Prophet ﷺ have mentioned. Yani the one who performs correctly the Hajj and it is accepted, he will come back like the day his mother gave birth to him. That means he will be removed from all of his sins. And so many other means there are of removing the minor sins. discuss the condition of those who do not repent from the major sins before death. What would be the condition? Huh? Naam, it will be up to Allah. They will be subjected to the mashiyah of Allah, to the will of Allah. It is up to Allah. If He wills, He may forgive them out of His mercy. And if He wills, He will punish them justly for the sins that they have committed. In Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Just want to remind the brothers and sisters that inshallah in the month of Ramadan, on Saturdays, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala, before Maghrib, for 1 hour before Maghrib, we will have a darf from the Kitab al-Sawm, the Book of Fasting from Bulugh al-Maram. Kitab al-Siyam from Bulugh al-Maram.
Thank you. Amen.